welcome to the Cure for Chronic Pain podcast with me, Nicole Sachs. You are here. Hello, my darlings. How are you today? This is Nicole, and welcome to my podcast, The Cure for Chronic Pain, with me, Nicole Sachs. I'm so glad to be here with you. So today we're going to do a little bit of a personal episode. It's just me here with you guys. No speak pipes, no interviews. I'm going to be talking about living the work. And recently, a few weeks ago, I had Marion on the podcast as an update. Marion was my first ever interview on the podcast. And she came back a few years later to talk to us about what it is to live this work and what it is to incorporate it into her life and how it keeps her buoyed and how it keeps her healthy. It's a great interview. I mean, really just one of the best. And so if you are curious about somebody's journey through this work, through terrible, terrible chronic pain and symptoms that kept her really, really stuck, to working through trauma, through understanding some really unspoken things that needed to be spoken, if not only to herself and then to me at the time she was my client. But anyway, I'm bringing that up because, first of all, it's just a wonderful interview, and you can look back to Marion a few weeks ago. And also to say that it really inspired me to talk about myself and doing the work and to invite other people on the podcast, like an interview I have coming up next week with Scarlett about doing the work. Scarlett was not a personal client of mine. She came to my first ever Omega retreat years ago. And when she found my work, Scarlett, at the age of 40, I believe, was using a walker because her neuropathy in her legs was so bad, she literally couldn't walk. And the day I met her, she had come to a small private retreat that I was doing locally, and it was upstairs. It was on the second floor of a building, and she walked upstairs without a walker and took one look at me and burst into tears because she couldn't believe that she could walk. And then since has done incredible work, and she's going to be my interview next week. And so I really am focusing a lot lately on like deepening my practice and deepening my communication with you about how people are living this work, because guys, this is about so much more than chronic pain. I mean, I got into this work at the very beginning because I was in chronic pain so badly I couldn't walk. My back had gone out. I was just a college student, and I couldn't move. I needed help going to the bathroom. So never think that I'm telling you that this pain is in your head. It is capital R real. But that's what started me on this journey, and eventually to find Dr. Sarno and to find my own practice, you know, through my being a therapist myself and all that. And so living the work is something that begins often for you guys, for me, with something that manifests through your body, through chronic pain, through migraines, through fibromyalgia, through long COVID, through pelvic pain, through skin disorders, through the symptoms of autoimmune disease, stomach issues, IBS, back, neck, shoulder, knee, foot, ankle, wrist, carpal tunnel, just riffing, plantar fasciitis, tendonitis, piriformis pain. Anyway, so I'm just thinking of so many things that have come across my desk, my consciousness, my energy over these many years of my doing this work with others. And so, you know, I never ever have stopped doing it in my own life, but I ebb and flow. I ebb and flow because, as I tell you guys all from the jump, this work is not a life sentence. This work is a tool, a very powerful tool in your toolkit that will never let you down. When you release your need to control, when you practice belief that knowing that an emotional exercise can cure a physical chronic condition, which it can, when you do the work with consistency, and when you operate with patience and kindness for yourself. Which is not easy stuff, by the way. It's fucking hard, but it works. And that is what I'm here to do, what I'm here to live, what I'm here to teach, and what I'm here to talk about today. So I'll tell you that lately, it's not that I haven't been doing my journal speak. I do it whenever I need to do it. But I guess in the past few months, I've been so busy. I have a lot going on personally. I'm planning a move. I'm moving from the East Coast to the West Coast this summer, which is a lot. My middle guy, my son, who is 18, is in the process of applying and hearing back from colleges, which any parent who has lived through this or done it or supported a child who is doing it knows is not an easy time. And I've got my youngest, who is now going to have to transition from the only home and school, really, that system that she's ever known, into the West Coast and everything that change will bring. She's right now in 9th grade. And then I have my own personal journey, my body, this thing I live in and partner with and try my very best to love. And our journey together through whatever I could call it symptoms, I could call it that. But really, at this point for me, what I'll call my experience with my body is the way that my body keeps the score and allows the expression of certain things that are happening in my life and the roadmap it gives me and the signposts it gives me and the way I can see pain and symptoms and discomfort as not bad, but rather as information that my body helps me. Because, you know, I'm a person that could live wholeheartedly in my head. I could just think all the time, and I could allow that perseveration and rumination and sometimes I'll call it insomnia because it can happen to me. And I can allow that to really be everything. And I can allow myself to think my way constantly. And I won't stop sometimes until I'm reminded through my body and through the conditions that can poke me on the shoulder and say, hey, you might be missing something here. I could just think until it stops me. And you know what? So many of us are like that. So many of us really can get lost in our habitual way of dealing with life until something gets our attention. And oftentimes that is a symptom or a thing. Like, I'll tell you right now, my quote unquote symptom is sleep anxiety. And it's really just anxiety, but it's anxiety that really gets me most at night. And the reason I'm going to talk about it is because I don't usually stop to take care of myself until something gets in my way. And that's so annoying that it's still happening to me all these years later. And it shows me that it's just part of the human condition and that we are so sweet and lovely. And we really just want to carry on and be everything for everyone and get everything done and make our lists and check them off. And the beauty of human life can get lost in that condition and that syndrome, because we forget to pause and be present when our body is not telling us that we must. I mean, I don't know if that's your experience. It certainly is mine. So what's happened to me lately is that I can be totally fine during the day. I'm really productive. I happen to be a very productive person, and I'm grateful for that. I know people do struggle with productivity and inattention and getting scattered and not knowing what's next, you know, on their list. I'm actually a person that rather easily knows what's next on my list. It just happens to be one of the things that comes more easily for me, but I can be afflicted by then being totally in my list and forgetting to take care of the places where I could actually be missing the opportunity to connect more deeply with the people in my life or with myself. And I think that's when my body gets in the way. And when I say my body, obviously sleep anxiety doesn't feel physical necessarily to you, but it certainly can be a physical experience, but it's still my body. It's not my mind. It is my felt sense of being alive and my ability to relax my body and have it sleep and my ability to be like really embodied and present with it. And so what happened, so as I said, what's going on in my life is that my son is applying to these colleges and it's like, I feel like I can't do anything right. I feel like if I'm helpful, I'm annoying. And if I'm empathic, I'm suffocating him, or I'm annoying. I think generally I'm annoying to him. And I'm also like really, I've got to admit to you that it really matters to me how this turns out. It matters to me for his self-esteem and for his confidence and for his ability to feel good about himself in the world. And it matters to me because I want to feel like I can relax and do all the pressury things that I need to do in order to bring this message to the global community and have a personal life. Like I want to have that, and I want to feel like he's okay. And it's also a lifetime of raising him and feeling like a scraped wound when your child doesn't always have things come easily. And we all understand this as parents. I don't care how easy life feels for your child or seems like it feels for your child. As parents, we are always just wanting things to be easier and wanting our kids to have, you know, the love and comfort and success that they deserve. And, you know, so it's all that. And honestly, he's great, by the way. He's handling it all beautifully, better than me. And he's, you know, wearing it loosely, and he knows that it'll work out. And no matter how it goes, he's going to go to college somewhere and it's going to be fine. I'm just saying, like, that's been one thing. It's been one thing really on my mind, and more than his experience. And I do find this to be ubiquitous with parenting. It's my experience of trying through my own inner child, through my own trauma of childhood and relationship with my parents and everything, to not get in the way of him just being a person in the world. You know, it's not easy, guys. It's not easy. So there is that. And then, of course, there's my deep need and desire to do my work well and to get this message out and to be heard properly and to get the next opportunity that's the right opportunity. So there's that that weighs on my mind. There's, like I said, my move and my relationship with Lisa, which is like incredible. I'm really finally at the age of 50, and, you know, we all have our patterns, our paths, our outcomes. I'm finally in a relationship that is like really feeding me, and I'm able to really be received and to be myself and to be my best self and to love someone else well. And that's also like really amazing, but also really takes up a lot of my mental energy, because it makes me full of feelings. And all of these things that I'm talking about, quote, good and bad, go into that reservoir that we all have inside of us that make us big feelers, and that can cause us, when they overflow, when those reservoirs overflow, to have symptoms. Because anytime you have a lot of big feelings and it's too much for, let's just call it proverbially, your heart space to handle, they will spill over. And when they spill over, they can cause disruptions in your peace. And, you know, that could be a very light way to say it, or they could cause physical symptoms so jarring that you can't walk, you know. So it runs the gamut. And these podcasts over the years feature people from all of this, you know, across this spectrum, and me. And I talk about myself all the time too. And so what I think happened to me recently is that the insomnia, which is one of my first TMS symptoms ever, happened pre-me starting in maybe first or second grade and consistently at different times throughout my life, reared its head, not in terms of like not being able to sleep, because actually physically I'm a really solid sleeper. When I first met Lisa, she bought me an Oura ring. This is not an advertisement for Oura Ring, because I am not paid, nor do I know enough about Oura Ring to advertise it. But it's like a tracking device. It's a ring. I love it. And it tells me about my sleep. It tells me my deep sleep and my REM sleep. And it also tracks my exercise. It's like kind of a big brother sitting on my finger. But I don't give it power. Like I'm not – I don't – it's sort of similar to what I talked about a couple weeks ago with Samantha and like her Fitbit and her Noom app. I'm not like that at all. There's no fear-based thinking with my Oura Ring. It's just nice actually to have something tracking, so I can, if I feel like checking in, like, how did I sleep last night? I can do that. And so I have this Oura Ring, and I know that I can sleep solidly, and I know that actually I get good restorative sleep. And I know that I don't wake up a lot, like I don't have any sort of sleep apnea or oxygen issues. Like it really tracks a lot of stuff. And And so it's not that I'm a bad sleeper. It's that I'm anxious. And my anxiety comes when things are quiet and there's not a lot of distractions and I can be with myself, which is not always a welcome person to spend time with, as you may relate. And so so lately I've been having this like thing that happens to me at night where I'm tired, I'm ready for bed, I do all my little sleepy nighttime routines, which is, you know, whatever it is for me. I don't want to get into telling you how to do a sleep routine because that's a whole other story where I feel like if you get too anal about sleep routines, that becomes something to get anxious about. So I do my thing, which is varied and somewhat light, and then I get into bed. And I am tired at first and I feel my body calming down, and then out of nowhere, seemingly, I get so anxious, and the anxiety comes physically, like my heart is beating. I feel it thumping in my chest and in my throat. But it's also fear that I had when I was really little. It's so kind of sweet the way when we're in a place of trigger that we can go back to thoughts that are so old. And it was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, I'm not going to get enough sleep. And if I don't get enough sleep, I'm not going to be okay in the morning. And if I'm not okay in the morning, I'm going to ruin the day. And if I ruin the day, I'm not going to be productive. Or even if I am productive, I'm going to have to fake it all day that I'm okay because I'm really going to feel shaky and tired. And this is what I used to think every single night in second, third, fourth, seventh, ninth grade when I couldn't sleep about the school day. And I'm now at age 50 having these actual thoughts that are somewhat intrusive because I'm not interested in thinking them, mulling over and over in my brain as I lay and I try to go to sleep. And I'm like, okay. Now, I want to tell you, I did not immediately press the pause and run to my journal speak. I suffered with this for a bit, not long, but definitely weeks of suffering with this before I really decided it was time to go back to basics, get back to my practice, my daily practice, and do this for myself because I want to be free. I want to be free. And here's the thing about TMS, that sleep anxiety flare that you can call it that I have been having at night. I want you to equate that to if my back went out or if I had all of a sudden started getting daily migraines. Like it's the same. It's just how is your reservoir overflowing and how is that informing something that's happening through your physical body? Like it doesn't – so that's why I want to tell you that even though I am somewhat consumed by my son's college application experience, my move, my new love in my life, my daughter's changing schools, my work, even though I – yes, those things do concern me and sometimes consume me, that's not what – I'm thinking about at midnight, laying in my bed with my heart thumping. I'm thinking about childhood fears of what if my next day is going to be ruined. And they're not just childhood fears. They just started there. But I guess what I'm saying is it's just TMS. Like that moment of that sort of panic attack, if we're going to call it that, because it feels like a mild panic attack at the moment, is a headache, is a back pain, is a knee pain after running that, you know, doesn't make sense because you run every day. Why is it hurting you today? You know, it's that. It's all the same. It's a flare of your autoimmune symptoms. It's your long COVID that won't go away. It's your stomach issues. It's your diarrhea. It's your constipation. It's your irritable bowel. Like it's all the same. And I promise you it's all the same because I've had it all. I've had it all. I've had like almost everything that is known to man. And I watch it. And then I decide to do the work, and then I watch it flow through me, and then it goes. I have never had chronic pain since the moment I understood this work deeply and did it, because chronic pain is an epidemic of fear, and this, what's happening to me right now, is just a symptom. It's a TMS moment that I can choose not to let get stuck in my body. So this was happening to me, and I decided I'm going to live my work. Hello, obviously I have to, but I'm also just like a human being, just like you. I'm just resistant. I don't always want to do what I should do. I don't always want to take good care of myself. I want to fucking not sometimes. So there you go. But I, you know, so I waited the period of time that I can tolerate waiting and suffered through it and tried, you know, some medication, which was not helping me. And I was like, okay, I'm not going to do that. And I'm not saying that medication is wrong or bad, by the way. I am saying that you get to make that choice for yourself. And as long as you're not taking something addictive, if you want to try something that eases the burden of whatever you're going through, I really, really don't believe in opioids or benzos or anything addictive. I just don't. So that's just me. But other than that, you know, if you want to try to help something, help yourself with something, fine. But I was not enjoying that. I wasn't enjoying how I felt in the morning after the still shitty sleep I was getting. So I said, I don't want to do the medication anymore. So I'm like, okay, now what do I do? Well, I know what to do. I'm going to get down to business. So I started doing my journal speak as a non-negotiable daily practice. And this is what I have chosen. I'm sharing it with you. Pick it up if you want it. If you don't, leave it on the field. But every morning when I wake up, if I have time before I get my kids out the door, I start the meditation before I go downstairs. But if I sleep all the way to my alarm, I just do it after they leave. But the first thing I do in this morning, rather than some of the other stuff I was doing, which was like more diversions, you know, like scrolling through the internet or doing like a word puzzle or something that, although it's fun for me, it was really just a diversion. And I'm not interested in being panicked at midnight. So guess what? You don't always get your diversions. If you really want the symptom to go away, you got to get to business and do the work. And so I stopped doing those kind of morning things. And I said, okay, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to meditate for 20 minutes. And my meditation practice is I do it first before my journal speak. I teach people to do it after because I find that people need that 20 minutes after, or sorry, 10 minutes is what I prescribe to you, after your journal speak, in order to forgive yourself sometimes and have self-compassion for what you needed to say. I have been doing journal speak for 150,000 years, and so I don't judge myself ever for what I need to say in my journal speak. I can be angry. I can be sad. I can be terrified. I can say unspeakable, unthinkable, impolite, child-like, five-year-old, ranty, kicky, punchy things, and I don't judge myself. So my meditation practice is a little bit different. This is just personal. I like to do it first. I like to clear my head and clear my mind and heart before I do anything else in the day. So I have recommitted to making sure I do that first, and then I do my 20 minutes of journal speak. And the reason I'm coming here to talk about it is because it's fucking helping. Duh, obviously. But like, you know, it's easy to get caught up in your cyclical self-talk and say, oh, I've always had this problem. I always do this thing to myself when I sleep. I've been anxious since I was born, and maybe I just am an anxious person and maybe I can't get over it. And like, yeah, I'm always going to run anxious. But ever since I started my journal speak practice, maybe a few days in, it took a few days to really take hold. I was emptying the reservoir. I was talking about all these things I mentioned. I was talking about the way things make me feel. I was going on side rants about things I didn't even know I was upset about. And I was destroying it. I don't keep my journal speak. I use it as a purge, and I say everything and then I delete it and I go on with my day. That this nighttime panic has not been happening to me, guys. And here's what's interesting. It's not that I can always sleep so well. Like it's not perfect. Like, for example, last night I really did have a lot on my mind. And so like throughout the night I woke up a lot and I feel like I was having maybe some bad dreams, and I woke up at 6 and, you know, just couldn't fall back to sleep or whatever. But I'm not panicking. I don't have that heartbeaty, panicky thing. I don't have those perseverating thoughts about the next day. In fact, I have a lot of peace about the next day. And I say to myself, you know what? I'll sleep when I sleep, and tomorrow will be tomorrow. And if I'm a little tired, I guess I'll be okay. And like, guys, I'm recording this podcast. I've already had a lot to get done this morning. I did not sleep great last night, but I'm not tired. I'm okay. Acceptance, guys. Acceptance equals peace. And you can't always force acceptance. Acceptance is the natural result of doing the work you need to do for yourself. And that is what I'm feeling today. And so I'm here to tell you that you're okay. I'm okay. We're doing the work. You can rededicate yourself at any time. You can find your footing at any time. You can do this. And when you do it, and when you rededicate, and when you say, no, I'm not going to continue living in my old patterns. I don't want that pain anymore. I don't want that symptom. I don't want that discomfort. You have power to pick up this tool that you have learned or you are learning, and you can do this for yourself. And I am. And I love sharing it with you. All right. So that's my message for today. If you want to come and do this with me in person, I just heard from my Omega coordinator today that the things are selling out pretty quickly at Omega for the summer. June is a really popular time to have a retreat. I'm there June 25th through the 30th. So if you want to do this with me, if you want to be in the room with me and live this work with me, go to eomega.org and search my name, Nicole Sachs, or go to thecureforchronicpain.com, my website, and click on the retreats tab and come join us in New York this summer, June 25th through the 30th. I cannot wait. All right, guys, I send you big, huge, enormous love. Thank you for being here with me today. And until next time, this has been the Cure for Chronic Pain podcast with me, Nicole Sachs, and I'll see you then. Bye-bye.